Good morning, everyone.
Welcome back to another episode of Mornings with the Montagues. Today, it's not the morning. It's not the morning today. It is the afternoon. Today has been a heck of a day.
Yeah.
It's been a challenge a little bit around the house today. We're not able to record. We were not able to record this morning, so we're recording this afternoon. We tried to record three times today.
I guess, right?
But it didn't work. So here we are, guys. Yeah. Pray for us. Pray for us. Today's episode is titled Fidelity Check. Fidelity Check. And we're actually in the book of Numbers now. We're zooming through this Bible devotional, episode 21 today. Numbers 5, 11 through 28. And our main verse today, Numbers 5, 15. Then he is to take his wife to the priest. He must also take an offering of a tenth of ephah of barley flour on her behalf. He must not pour olive oil on it or put incense on it, but it is a grain offering for jealousy, a reminder offering to draw attention to wrongdoing. And so for you guys to understand what's happening here, go back and read Numbers 5, 11 through 28 and see the specific situation that's going on here, the context. So to summarize what is happening, the best of my ability here, that this is a test for an unfaithful wife. If a husband has suspicion or jealousy on his wife, he's supposed to bring her to the priest and bring some specific ingredients. And the priest will basically say, if you're being truthful, woman, if you were not impure, I hope that this bitter water does not curse you and curse your womb. But if you have been unfaithful to your husband, that this water will curse your womb and you will not be able to have children in the future. So this is, read the text, understand that a little bit better.
Remembering it's in the Old Testament, how they used to do the things. Mm-hmm. It's very complex.
Very complex. And so read that, understand what's happening there. Then we'll go into our devotional today, Fidelity Check, how this relates into those verses
today.
It's
almost like those machines that...
like a lie detector test. Yeah.
But in a, like very the way God taught the priest how to do it.
Mm-hmm. Here's our devotional today. When Annie suspected her husband Ron was having an affair, her antenna went up. She began watching for evidence, receipts, long-distance phone calls, emails to confirm her suspicion. Over time, the evidence was clear. Ron was cheating on her. When Anna confronted her husband, however, he told her she was crazy for thinking that way. Ron's words cut her to the core. Not only did this denial magnify his guilt, but his demeaning words reinforced what she already was feeling, that she was losing her mind. Jealousy and suspicion were taking over her life. Anna decided to meet with her pastor. She shared her suspicion and the evidence that pointed to her husband's guilt. Anna hoped this respected leader would come alongside her to intervene. She knew that her husband was lying about his affair. She also knew the public revelation of his affair would be devastating to his career and to the women he was involved with. Unfortunately, Anna's pastor didn't believe her claims and dismissed her fears. Wow. Anna left the pastor's office feeling utterly rejected. She had to deal with her overwhelming feelings of suspicion, jealousy, rejection, and anger all on her own. At some point, every couple will experience feelings of jealousy and suspicion. While we don't have a modern-day equivalent to the bitter water test of Numbers 5, 11 through 21, there are some practical steps we can take to deal with fears of infidelity and to restore trust once it has been broken by an affair. For starters, we can pray daily for a hedge of protection around our marriage. So valuable.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry Jenkins explains how this works in the book Hedges, Good News Crossway, 2005. No one is immune from the possibility of committing adultery. At no point in our marriage are any of us safe from this sin. Recognizing this fact is our first defense. Second, we can build a climate of trust with our partner through open communication and checkpoints that give our partner windows into our world. Without allowing it to become controlling, there's nothing wrong with setting up checkpoints that verify our whereabouts, our connections with others, especially online, and what we do when we are alone. For example, ever since Lila developed a romantic relationship with a man she met on the internet, her husband Phil has needed reassurance that she's being faithful to him now that the relationship has ended. Lila and Phil now keep a shared email address. Occasionally, Phil checks Lila's email. Lila doesn't argue about those checkups, knowing that accountability to her husband is a good way to rebuild the trust she compromised. Such a heavy, heavy topic.
Mm-hmm.
For some time in our marriage, I saw this kind of accountability as invasive and demeaning. What difference did it make if I took a different route to work than Dan thought? Over time, though, I've come to see that by giving Dan my daily itinerary, I'm letting him peek into my world. It's a safeguard for our marriage. Building hedges around each other goes a long way toward protecting us from infidelity, and it also alleviates the fear of infidelity once trust has been broken. I want to talk about the ending here where it was talking about how setting checkpoints in the marriage and always, hey, where are you? What are you doing? Who are you with? You know, this was invasive and demeaning in the beginning of their story. But then they realized in this story, in the devotional, that this is something that allowed them to safeguard their marriage. And I think that this is so valuable for us to check on what other people are, you know, what the other person is doing, because it's your love, it's your husband, it's your wife. I mean, I don't think there's anything that's off limits of, hey, where are you at? Who are you with? What are you doing? Yeah, you know, I feel like you should totally be open. And if you're not open to that, something's wrong. That's weird. Yeah. If you're not willing to say those things. I think it's
also the way you speak about that. Like if you're speaking with this air of jealousy, it's going to cause some problems. But if you have this partnership, this talk before, like, yes, we're going to always have this type of conversation, like where we are going and which type of people we're not going to ever talk to or have on our phones, you know, little small conversations because it's not appropriate. And it's just like being cautious with your husband, with your wife, taking care of. Why to put yourself in danger?
Yeah, I want to use really one practical example that we have an English school here in Brazil, and we do Instagram advertisements and different ways to promote the school. And many people contact me personally in our school Instagram. And so I have access to this. Our other teachers have access to this. However, I can quickly see if someone is appropriate or not. And so the people that are not appropriate, for me, it's not worth it. A little bit of extra money is not worth having not peace in my marriage. You know what I mean? Or anything there.
For me, neither.
I don't even teach classes to people that I feel are not appropriate, right? And Marcelli also checks a little bit. Hey, who are you having class with? Who are those people? And I think that's a great thing. I invite that because I want my wife to have peace and for her to trust me and all of these things. It's
totally
not invasive.
Okay.
It's not demeaning.
It's totally okay with, because I think Dallas filters first.
Oh yeah, there's a filtering that happens way before it gets to my wife, for sure.
Showing me, or I would do the same. Because why would you talk to someone that has already that type of sensual talking in the beginning, you know?
Or just the,
like,
their
cover
women, picture,
you know?
On their social media, you know? Like, why would I want to have English class with somebody like this? So,
and
I don't.
This in business, in life, right? Or being cautious when, for example, my husband's friends are around and I'm not going to breastfeed my kids, you know, Elijah in front of them.
Yeah.
Like, maybe it's gross for everyone else, but maybe it's not. So I'm going to be more appropriate, you know, in the way I get dressed or talking, like being alone, you know, if we have a guest that is staying in our house. And the same thing, I think Dallas is... gives a space, you know, when I have a friend. And so about that, taking precautions. And like other things that I would like to say about infidelity, it's the only thing that the Bible says in a marriage that you could get a divorce, right? I don't know if it says anything about if you get punched or anything like that. If it says there, if you can get divorced.
I don't remember anything like this.
I don't really know. But about infidelity, yes, there is. Because of the heart of the people, you can have the certificate of divorce. It's allowed, right? But there's the option of yes, getting a divorce. And there's the option of getting healing in the Lord. And there's which one you decide to walk through, the Lord will help you. Totally, but you do have to find people that are godly to walk with you into it. Either option, right?
Something that I want to say that...
And it needs, the healing process needs to happen both ways.
Something both that ways. Is heavy on my heart right now. Prayer goes a long way. Pray before you even have the situation. Pray before you even find yourself having to confess or having to overcome or find healing. Stay in prayer with your spouse before. Set boundaries before, you know, live above reproach, as we said in other episodes here. build your life with the safeguards that you're not putting yourself in a situation where something like this could happen, mm-hmm. right? And our first question, we've actually already answered it, which it's talking about what kind of checkpoints do we have in our marriage?
Oh, okay.
And are we open about our emails, lunch dates, and daily schedules? Well, I have a really, really hot coworker.
Me?
It's my wife. We work together. We work at home. And I'm definitely looking at her when I'm working for sure.
Oh,
for
gosh,
sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Our second question, what are some ways we can deal with jealousy or suspicion should they occur in our marriage?
I think it's horrible. I think it's just brings a heavy mm-hmm. air into your home. So jealousy, it's not something to carry with you. I've been jealous.
Is all jealousy wrong?
I don't know.
Is jealousy a sin?
Sometimes the Bible talks about jealousy. The God is a jealous God, but we don't know how he's jealous, you know, because...
That's a good point.
He is our bridegroom, mm-hmm. right? So...
And we are the
I would like to pray Noiva. For God's perspective on
We're going to have to search that one a little
his
bit
more. Jealousy, right? But in my own human perspective, I was jealous of Dallas... before marriage, and that was destructive, mm-hmm. right? I didn't do anything bad to you, but I don't know if I can comment. Like, I had a boyfriend before, and I used to...
you before did?
That, yeah.
What?
And he suffered the consequences. It was horrible because I pinched him every time he looked on the side. You know, it was terrible. Like, terrible. So Dallas didn't suffer this type of thing. But every time I was jealous, I wanted to run away. So it was just bad, like... cause bad things, trouble. So for anyone can react differently, mm-hmm. you know? So our reactions could cause only
in your
fighting.
Anger, do not sin, yeah. right? In your jealousy, do not sin. Yeah, I think they can apply the same
in
thing.
In my jealousy. Yeah. So dating time, right? And then mm-hmm. when we got married, it was so different.
Pandemic?
Yeah, pandemic.
So, there wasn't anyone around.
But then after that, we built our confidence so much mm-hmm. and also knowing who I am in the Lord. And
identity went a long
identity,
way. So if you
yeah.
are jealous, having your identity set in Christ goes a long way.
Yeah.
Praying together goes a long way. Mm-hmm. Doing devotions together goes a long way in all of these areas of suspicion or jealousy or... you know, all
and
of those.
Protect your husband, protect your wife, like praying for mm-hmm. for your spouse, you know. And I prayed for Dallas and for myself in that time. Mm. And when we got married, so we went through all this process of knowing each other better, knowing and to trust, learning how to trust each other. That's very important.
Yeah.
It's key to learn how to trust each other and know that the person is faithful to you. And also setting those boundaries mm-hmm. will help to understand that that's not allowed. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to watch for you mm-hmm. too, but you have to do it too, of course. And he's going to watch for me. And we are going to pray and keep away, be away from any type of temptation in that area. Even the lust of the eyes, mm-hmm. because that will be seen to, yeah. too, you know, also. So it's not anywhere near to go, right?
Yeah. Our third question here. What kind of accountability would be helpful in creating a climate of trust in our marriage? I'm going to comment on one thing. Maybe you didn't think about this, but you have access to my Instagram, right? Mm-hmm. My personal Instagram, the school, those other things. And when you look at my Instagram, what do you see?
I don't look so often, but like almost never just when I get your phone and then I enter my Instagram.
Okay, so you commented about this before.
When we were dating, I got your phone once and I noticed that when you go into the search button, it was so clean, like cleaner than mine. For me, it was not boys and stuff, but it was like a lot of clothing and sometimes like some unpleasing pictures that I would not like to see. So Dallas knew that you could clean that type of stuff.
You can. You can do set settings in your phone to not see junk.
Yeah, I saw like his Instagram. So I was like, well, how is it so clean? Like there's nothing disgusting here. There's nothing like inappropriate in his Instagram. And I thought that was so awesome because I remember at that time when I was knowing Dallas closer, and I saw that the boys in my church, they were so, like, sometimes you have a little peek, like, they were using their phones, and you know, ew, why they are looking those type of pictures of other girls? Mm-hmm. I don't want to ever be their wife, you know, because I don't, oh my gosh, how's my husband gonna be? And I wonder, you know. And then when I got Dallas's phone, it was like so clean. It was like, praise God, he's
I don't
not
want this junk on
entertaining
my phone.
This type of pictures and liking every bikini girl's pictures, like some people were, you know. And I was like, praise God, praise God. Yeah. Because if you want to see someone,
and so the reason why
see
I
your
said
wife.
That, the reason why I said that is because the accountability that we can set boundaries in what we're entertaining.
Yeah.
Types of entertain, movies, too. Yes, and movies, yeah, even music.
Yeah.
These types of things that we entertain go a long way. Everything that I said today goes a long way. I'm using that expression a lot. Mm-hmm. Goes a long way. Be careful what you entertain.
Yeah.
Be careful what you look at. Be careful what you see. If it's a movie that has something, either turn it off or fast forward or what,
also,
you know?
I'm
done.
Something about the, I said the other day, this word is the defrauding. Defrauding.
Yes, defrauding.
Yeah. When you are not in a relationship with someone and touching too much.
I'm not sure if that made it in the other episode or not.
It did.
Yeah.
And you're touching other people. You're not even dating sometimes. Or you're dating. You have to be very cautious with that. Because one day you're going to be married. Mm-hmm. You know. And you don't want to awake this type of feelings in another person that you cannot go further.
Mm-hmm.
Because for going further in touching, it's after marriage. So don't. And men, boys, guys, especially younger guys, like teens, they are, I think they get...
I think every teenager's love language is touch.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to say
they
that.
They get too, like, I don't know how you say, excited and made it, I don't know. But they are like, oh my gosh, she's touching me. And they get crazy, you know? Like, they're already dreaming, you know, with bad things. Things that they're not supposed to be thinking at this point. So
don't defraud anybody,
yeah, so kissing, right? Too much and this type of stuff is not something that I would suggest before marriage, right? Yeah.
So this is another episode today, the fidelity check. Check your marriage. Check your relationships. If you're single right now and you're looking, or maybe you're single and you're not looking,
remember,
check.
You're the
check
bride
yourself.
Of Christ.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And so I hope you guys were able to take something out of this devotional today. It's a great
another
reminder.
Point, like, let's make it clear, like, yes. If you're the bride of Christ, you are going to remain pure, mm-hmm. for him. You know, if you sinned before, okay, but now continue your path in being here and pure, clean and pure to the Lord, because he's your bridegroom and he's coming back for us, and it's going to be amazing, the wedding of the mm-hmm. Lord, you know, it's going to be amazing, so... Be
Maranatha.
Holy, be holy. You
be
know?
Holy.
It's
as
worth
I am holy.
It. It's
That's
worth
one of our
it.
Other devotionals. Be holy as I'm holy.
Yeah.
So thank you guys so much. Marcy, yeah. Can you pray us out?
Yes. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for this devotional, Lord. Thank you for taking care of us during this day. We survived, Lord. And bless all the people that are listening, Lord. Bless the ones that are married. Bless the ones that are not married yet. I pray for protection over every person's marriage, Lord, and future marriage, Lord Jesus. Help us to be faithful to our spouses. And also for the ones that want to get married one day, Lord, I pray for them to be faithful to you in first place. Because yeah. First, we are your bride, Lord. All the church, we are your bride. So help us, Lord, to be faithful. To not lust with your eyes, to not do this type of defrauding with other yeah. people, Lord. Help us to be pure, to seek your presence, to spend time with you, Lord, and protect our spouses. Even from now, Lord, pray for your future husband, for your future wife, for the Lord takes care of them and help them to be pure too and get rid of all the dirty things of the world. And Lord, just help us so much because we need your help. We cannot overcome from sin if you don't help us, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Help us with all types of sins, Lord. If it's anger, if it's
Jealousy.
Lord, help us to be victorious in you, Jesus. Yeah. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, guys. See you later.
Bye.